Welcome to Communication Made Simple, a podcast to learn about how to speak with confidence, prepare your message, listen actively, give and receive feedback, and much more. I'm your host, José Mota, a communication coach with 15 years of experience in the software industry. Visit www.josemota.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemota.net. Let's get on with the show. For the first time in this podcast, I'm having a guest over. There's so much potential in sharing ideas with other people, and I was lucky enough to welcome today's guest. She's a friend and colleague with good amounts of experience in the workforce. Her name is Natasha Wellington Hilsman. She is a human resources business partner and leadership coach with 25 years of experience in manufacturing and healthcare. Her focus is on nonprofit, career development, conflict resolution, and facilitation. She is currently a director of human resources at Luminous Health, leadership coach at Wellington Hilsman, and professor at McDaniel College in Westminster, Maryland. Natasha is a wife and mother, and she lives in Maryland in the United States. Without further ado, let's jump right into the conversation. I hope you enjoy it, and please do let me know if you find it interesting to you. I will definitely repeat the format if you do. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome with me Natasha Wellington Hilsman. Natasha, it's great to see you again. How are you?
I'm great, Jose. Really good. It's good to see you too.
Wow. It's been so long since we've talked before. I mean, the last time we saw each other, what was it, like 6 months ago?
It was. Yeah, 6 months ago. I think it was like maybe July or maybe June, something like that. So it's been a minute.
Definitely a long time. Not fair for both of us.
No. I think we've been pretty busy since then. So, you know, but I'm glad we're doing this now. We have opportunity to talk now. So it's so good to see you. And thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. It's a joy to have you here. Natasha, why don't you start by introducing yourself to the audience and a little bit of a curiosity, what you've been, you know, reading or listening to these days?
Yeah. So my name is Natasha Wellington Hilsman, and, you know, I have a couple of hats that I'm wearing right now. I am a coach. I have a coaching business. My business also does HR consultation. In addition to that, I'm an adjunct professor at a college in the States. And also, I am an HR leader for a healthcare organization. Probably like anybody else who, you know, has worked for several years, I've worked in different industries, worked in manufacturing and automotive and now healthcare. So, you know, it's just given me a lot of a perspective to be able to do this work and really support my clients. And I'm really enjoying the work right now very much.
Awesome. Got any books?
Honestly, Juse, a lot of the books I'm reading, because I read a lot, but a lot of the books I'm reading are things for my own development, you know. So I'm actually reading this book by Dr. Marielle Burquet. And it talks about cycle breakers. It's very interesting. It's really about breaking cycles for trauma and different things that, you know, you deal with in life. And so I'm reading it just as fast as I can. So if you all haven't seen that book, you know, maybe we can link that. But it's a really great book. I find also in coaching, a lot of things that we deal with are cycles, you know. So, and we all have some form of trauma that we've experienced in the past. And I really feel like to be a really good coach, you have to continue to work on yourself to be a good leader and to help other people. You really have to help yourself and work on yourself. So there's like a series of books that I plan on reading by the end of the winter. And I read pretty fast because I do Audible. I'm an Audible listener as well. But this book is really great. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Yeah. Make sure to put that book in the, in the show notes for the episode.
Yes, sounds good. What are you reading right now, Juse? Are you reading anything?
Ooh, I'm reading at least one book. It's called The Personal MBA, which is a fascinating book on just getting up and running with everything that relates to business. I do believe that everyone should read the book if they're into either running a business or supporting one. Mm-hmm. There's many people who just want to get their job done and not having to worry about anything else. To be honest, our entire workforce, the knowledge industry, requires such an incredible amount of exposure to everything relating to business, all the way from marketing to sales to delivering value to listening to customers to getting feedback. All of that stuff, super, super valuable. I'll definitely recommend that one as well for the moment.
Wow, yeah. That's really, how did you come across that book? Wait, because I know one thing about you, you have a whole library of books. So for all your listeners, if they don't know, usually you probably have hundreds of books. So how did you come across this book?
Well, this book, actually, funny story, I was trying to consider going through an MBA, and then I thought to myself, I'm not spending $100,000 on an MBA. So I asked myself, what could I possibly do to learn what goes into an MBA without having to pay that much? Mm-hmm. So I actually found a book. Instead of $100,000, it's just $20.
Right.
And I've been getting enormously good, positive reviews about it. And if this is something that our audience should be able to understand without having to spend too much, this is the go-to book. I cannot recommend the book enough. It's really super simple to read and understand because the structure is so simple. Each chapter is like 2 pages, 3 tops. So you get like bite-sized concepts that are so easy to follow up.
Oh, that's great. I might have to check that book out. That's really cool.
I mean, if you're running a coaching business, what's that all about, right? It's about running a business.
It's about running a business. And, you know, I love the fact that this book sounds like there has a lot of snippets in one book. You know, you can never find out everything you need to know from one book, right? But especially if you're thinking about running a business. So it sounds like it's a really good opportunity to understand what that would be like.
You know, actually, one of the topics that comes with pursuing an MBA is to lead and to communicate, two topics that are very distinct and very much a requirement for people in our industry, not just for the C-suite and directors and HR folks who, such as yourself, have an obligation to stay on top of, right?
Right.
It's also about our middle managers. It's also about our direct individual contributors. I strongly believe that. Actually, let's jump right into the topic of today.
Okay.
We were hoping to address one particular realization. We're in 2024 already. It feels like it's been forever since we started in the workforce. Now, here's a question for everyone. Who is entering the workforce right now? It's Gen Z. People from 1997 onward, they're now leaving college and they're starting their careers today or very close from today. And Natasha, you are a Gen X, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a millennial, so I was born in 86. And the challenges that come with bringing in a new generation of people brings in a ton of opportunities, a ton of ideas, a ton of challenges too. Mm-hmm. So Natasha, actually, I was curious to understand from your perspective, when you joined the workforce, how did you collaborate and communicate with the people that you were working with? I'm assuming baby boomers were your main entry. How was that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Not only, you know, my parents are baby boomers. You know, when I entered the workforce, the folks making the decisions were baby boomers. My first role was in a automotive manufacturer. And at that time, I think it was a pretty good mix of the generations that we had at that point in time. We didn't have millennials at that time. We definitely didn't have Gen Zs, you know, but for Gen Xers, you were always, you know, you're kind of told when you enter the workforce that, hey, get a job. Get something that's very secure, just grind it out every single day, keep your head down, you know, you can ask questions, you know, and things like that, but don't make any waves. That kind of was a little bit of the direction that I got when I started working. But in college, because I was a new graduate, it was a little bit different. They wanted you to challenge the status quo. So you were kind of living in these two worlds. And I don't know if anyone else understands that. Like, this one thing you learn in college and you're given career advice. And then there's another perspective when you actually enter the workforce. And I think it does depend on the company that you're working for. The company I started working for was a Japanese automotive company. So it was a global company. So there was cultures within cultures that you had to navigate. But I will say the first couple of years was a little bit of a contradiction to what I had learned in college about starting a new role.
So can you be very specific about that contradiction?
Yeah, the contradiction was, I mean, it was some very good advice, but it really wasn't all about working long hours and working really hard. What we really didn't learn is that visibility was very important. If you are working multiple hours every day and you're working really long hours, but you're not having visible projects where people can see what your capability is, a lot of times you don't get that visibility where you can actually learn and grow, where you can get promoted. I was listening to a podcast from a consultant. She's an HR consultant. She's also a coach. And she actually put a little snippet of a video on her LinkedIn. And she basically talked about that specifically. And here we're talking about, this is 2024. And that was years ago when I started with that company. But you know, it's really important to be a hard worker. You know, yes, you may have to work long hours, but if you want to move up, it's the visible projects that a lot of times help you propel forward. I learned that a little bit later. I did learn that, but that's not something necessarily that I, you know, was taught when I first entered the workforce. You know,
it was this saying about getting a job for life.
Yes, I know. I know. And it's really interesting because in the Japanese culture at that time, your job was a lifetime job. You know, you really didn't hear about people being laid off or anything like that. I mean, it's still somewhat the case. So you would have that job for your whole life. And my parents talked about that, like have security. It was more about security and then making sure that you had benefits. That was really important because what did everybody want to do out of college? You know, definitely in the States, you want to get a job and you want to buy a house. Well, people don't think that way anymore. A lot of new employees into the workforce, they want flexibility. They want to be able to be mobile. They don't want a lot of debt tying them down. So a lot of things they ask from a benefits perspective supports that. It's what they're asking for support for that. So it's definitely different. Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing you sharing these insights, and it really looks like there's definitely this contrast. Mm-hmm. Whereas earlier, you would incur into debt, getting to a mortgage to get your own home, really risking it all almost, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Today is not really like that. I mean, and sure, the circumstances are different, right? There's not that big a possibility right now to just kind of fix it yourself. The world is just so much more mobile, and technology also really leveraging that sort of mobility. You can go anywhere, be anywhere. You really can do it. And the knowledge industry really plays a strong contribution to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've explored your situation when you were entering the workforce. Mm-hmm. Now the roles are reversing. You are actually receiving a fresh new batch of people working with you, for you. Mm-hmm. How does that experience contrast with your previous one?
You know, it's really interesting because if we're looking at millennials and Gen Z, and again, I am not proclaiming to be an expert in that. I'm just going by my experience. I know you, same thing for you, Juse. We know a lot of people and we interact with a lot of people. But one of the things I hear all the time is just freedom. It really is, when you were describing just a few minutes ago, that's actually freedom. You know, and that's really what I want right now. And probably you ask any Gen Z, you know, person, or ask anybody, do you want freedom? Do you want to be free? And I think people would say yes. And it's freedom for making choices for themselves. You know, I just described what my background is. I have like 5 jobs, right? You know, and I think that's very, and my husband has like 55 jobs, right? Like, you know, we've, but I think that is really what's common now. You know, a lot of the Gen Zs are, they want that mobility. Well, so do I. I want that mobility too. You know, I want that freedom of choice and to be able to explore and be able to work from any place. That's something that I'm interested in. So it's very interesting. I feel like we've come a little bit full circle. I mean, I don't know yet. I have a son that's a Gen Z, so we'll see what happens, you know, with him. But it's contradictory. But really, when you think about what millennials and Gen Zs are asking for or saying that they want, it's things that all of us would want and all of us could benefit from. What do you think? What do you think? Do you think that that everybody really wants freedom when it comes to their ability to, you know, work?
You know,
and
it,
have
it sounds like, yeah, it really sounds like we're all looking towards the same thing, the same values, the same principles. It definitely looks like there's just a difference in format or appearance on the outside, which is very curious to understand when we actually take a look at our own experiences. You mentioned it earlier. It's your experience. It's my experience. I wonder if this is really this common phenomenon, not just from you and me, but for everybody who is listening and who's active in the workforce and has a really meaningful life, if this is really that true. Now, particularly to the scenario where we're trying to focus on right now, which is the workplace. As you know, this podcast is indeed about how to improve communication while still taking advantage of technology, taking advantage of what people have to offer best, particularly with Gen Z. Do you notice something different when it comes to talking to them or to influencing them to fulfill a goal that's common, let's say for, you know, business goals to achieve or a task to undergo? Do you feel like there's a difference between what you would perceive as normal for you or for a millennial like myself, and then Gen Z all of a sudden being totally different?
I think it's subtle. You know, I'm not one of these people that play into the huge contrast, because, you know, after you've lived on the earth a little bit, you know, long, and you interact with lots of different people, you realize, again, a lot of us want the similar things. It's just, how do we get to those things? I will say, though, with Gen Z, we actually said this about millennials too, the access to information. So if you're in a workplace, so let me just use a story. So long time ago, I did a stint as a recruiter. Okay, that's not my cup of tea, but I did it in HR. So I can check that box, but I have other talents other than being a recruiter. But I do remember being a recruiter years ago, and you know, you would ask the candidate, hey, do you have any questions for us? And the candidate may have one or two questions. Fast forward that to now, if you participate, so I participate in interviews, even though I'm not a recruiter, or, you know, I'm kind of monitoring that. Candidates come in with all kind of questions now, especially if there's Gen Z. A lot of them have done their research, or millennials as well, their research about your company. They've Googled a lot of different things. They've looked at job boards about what other people's, you know, maybe feedback had been about your question, about your company. So really, they ask a lot of really great questions. And there are a lot of questions I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I wish I would have asked that question when I, you know, back in the day when I first got my job. So I feel like they're, it's not necessarily more studied, but I think they do a little bit more research. So as a, if you're a leader or if you're a hiring manager, then you have to be prepared to answer those questions, because maybe you weren't asked those questions before. You didn't have to have an answer, but you're getting interviewed, you know? So a lot of times that is definitely different. And then I also think that there is a certain level of curiosity that I think Gen Zs have about certain topics that they're very interested in. So I'll use my son as example. He's not quite out there in the workplace because he's still in high school, but if there's a topic, he wants to be an attorney. So he is interested in certain things, but he will research and study that one topic, multiple layers, go very, very deep. Now, that's not for everything, you know. So for your listeners that have teenagers, you know, they kind of pick and choose what they want to be interested in. But he does do a lot of digging on certain topics. And that's a little bit different, I think, than some of the other generations. You know, we were kind of told, like, hey, you should have a broad knowledge of lots of different things. And so that way you're well-rounded. We remember hearing that phrase, well-rounded, whatever that meant. But for Gen Zs, my experience is it's not that they're not well-rounded. They have access to information. So they hear about a lot of things, but the curiosity usually is something that has to be something they're very much interested in.
It's like an oval instead of a full circle,
There
right?
you go.
It's still a little bit shaped, but it's
That's
still
right.
focused.
That's right. So when you're communicating with them, you have to understand that that's where they're coming from, definitely coming from. You know, sometimes I feel like that, you know, millennials, I'll talk about millennials, don't get a, you know, the fair shake in the workplace, because a lot of times, you know, there's comments about where they don't really go deep, meaning have a deep knowledge about different things. You know, but it's hard to go deep on being a subject matter expert on 50 things. You know, that's okay, right? But if it's a topic or that they're very much interested in, they'll do the work just like the rest of us that we do the work. So again, I try not to play into stereotypes, you say, about generations. I think we can learn from all of them, especially from the workplace perspective. But there are some differences. There really are.
I'm trying to remind myself of Simon Sinek. He was the guy that came up with all of these ideas around leadership and just really doing stuff that matters and finding your purpose, most and foremost, than anything else. I'm reminded that he often says in his clips on LinkedIn that I usually watch. I remember more than once this week this came up from him. He says, "I'm willing to say I don't know more often than I can think about." He would rather just be courageous and humble to the point of saying, "I don't know anything about this. I need help." This sounds like an opportunity for us to leverage the people's different circumstances and contexts. I think stereotypes are a really ill-advised presupposition that we might fall into. I think that's really sensitive for everyone to address. I also believe that it's rather sensible to leverage such differences, right? The age factor is also always going to be something that kind of claims a sort of baggage, a good kind of baggage. Because if you look at our families, right, our sons, our fathers and mothers, there are differences that we can leverage, right? We think about our boomers, our Gen Xs. For instance, my mother is Gen X too. And there's clearly a difference in the culture and in the way you mentioned how to do certain things or how to get certain things done, how to reach certain outcomes. My inclination, if I had to kind of give an opinion on this matter, given that we're talking about this, I also have started to welcome this new generation. And it's really different and fascinating to understand how they're willing to put in the work, how they're willing to really give it all if you just listen to them. Really fascinating. All they want is a little bit of attention. And this is not to be pedantic or anything. It's really just sincerely chasing what they really have to say. And you and our coaches, we know that it's our responsibility to support them, support us in a sense. Because when we just coach, we want to support them pursue their goals. When we're mentoring them or when we're leading them in, let's say, in a team setting or in a business setting, we still coach them, but this time is for them to leverage their own strengths to meeting the outcomes of the group, of the community, of the business. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting. And the wanting to be heard and have the attention. And I think sometimes if you hear that word attention, it sounds like that's a negative. That's not, I don't see it as a negative
Not at all.
situation, because they really want to know. My son, he says he wants to talk about something. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, let's I'm really excited because it's something that's very important. He wants that attention because he's ready to talk about, something. But also something interesting you say when you talk about coaching, if you are a Gen Z and you do have a little bit of coaching, you're going to need more coaching as time goes along because, there's a lot of things you haven't been exposed to, right? And maybe experiences, situations you haven't been in. And so it's the beginning of your career. If you're out of, if you're getting out of, you're out of college and that kind of thing, or you're not quite, you're not mid-career yet. You either haven't been to college yet, you're still in college, or you just got out of college, generally speaking. I know we do have people who go to college much later in life, but generally speaking, if you're on that path of you finished high school and then you go to college, I mean, this is kind of where you are. And so you don't have all the answers. And honestly, for the coaching industry, I really wish that there were coaches for me, and I know there was coaching out there, as you say, but I really wish that there was more attention for that. That's also a way for Gen Zs to receive attention is to have a coach that's listening to them and talk through different things. So I feel like it's a great time to be a college student, a great time to be entering the workplace. There's a lot of access to different resources and tools that probably you didn't have, and I didn't have as well.
Here's an interesting thought here. I would like to explore this particularly. I do have a personal interest here in terms of skills. We have been talking about how there's so much potential with our upcoming generation that is joining the workforce. So here's a situation that I perceive from my end. I would love to get your side of this equation. Sounds like, although being in different countries, right? You're in the States, I'm in Portugal. I think the reality is somewhat different in terms of the culture, in terms of the way that we train our people. So here's my thought. I believe strongly that there's a lack of proper training, proper skills development for anyone, particularly for Gen Z. And I say this with a little bit of reference. Because in the industry that I particularly work with, there's a strong emphasis on hard skills, right? A lot of how to be a good developer, how to be a good technician, how to be a good tester, how to work with data effectively, how to be really good at these things. Then there's the reverse side of that coin. I do believe that skills are a coin that has two sides. The hard skills, what makes you really good with things, and then there's soft skills on the other side, which is how to leverage that in benefit of the people, of the communities, of society. What do you think about the way that we give what we know about soft skills, about communicating, leading, influencing, giving feedback, speaking in public, all these sorts of skills? What is your perception around the way that we teach these skills to everyone, particularly for Gen Z?
Yeah, I think we sometimes present them as they're separate. We kind of say hard and soft as if they're two separate things. And I don't know that I totally agree with that. So let's take a develop, let's take the industry that you're in. Let's take a developer. If you are a developer, do you work in a team? Okay, so you work in a team, and then do you have to collaborate with other groups? Do you have a client that you have to have an output for? So all of those interactions with your colleagues, collaboration with other teams, output, that requires soft skills. So, it's not, I can't remember what the author was, but there maybe it was IBM. And so I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I think at one point IBM, there was one path for leadership. So, you were a technical person, you moved all the way up. Well, they realized a lot of people didn't really want to be a leader, right? So they created a separate path, like a more tech path where you didn't have to manage people. But both paths required the soft skills that we're talking about. So I think sometimes we maybe categorize it as two separate things. Like you're going to get this over here, you're going to get the hard skills. And then once you get that, you're going to get your soft skills. Or sometimes in HR, do you say that people only see HR folks as soft skills, you're really great at soft skills. Well, some of us are, and some of us aren't. We still have development, but we're also good with the hard skills, the business skills. We have to be both at the same time. So I think we were speaking about IT realm. I don't really see it as separate. You're interacting with someone, you have a team, you're reporting to somebody, and there's some output or product that is going to a client. It's being used for some purpose, and the soft skills help you get there a lot smoother than you would if, you didn't have that. In the healthcare industry, when you think about physicians, so like doctors, yes, you get this, you go through med school and you go through a residency program and you learn a certain area of medicine. Well, that medicine is on a human being that eventually you're going to be talking to and interacting with, and you're not really doing it by yourself. I mean, you have nurses and you have other support staff that are there as a partner to you. So soft skills is not something that's separate and aside in my mind. It is something that's, it's an and. It's the hard skills and it's the soft skills.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. Actually,
Yeah.
I'm a little bit flabbergasted by just the depth of your thought here. Because as much as that is true, or I believe that to be true, skills should be universal. They shouldn't be hard or soft. They should be all skills.
Right.
I cannot even begin to imagine how that would look like today if we had to go under a really good transformative plan to make that a reality. Because mind you, I'm in a consulting business.
Yes.
There's too much focus still on the separation of the two. And I would very much love to see this moving forward, actually. Here's a challenge for the both of us. I'll ask you the question. If you had to come up with a strategy to bring in the technician side of skills, the thing that makes us competent at our job, mixed with this human side of what we do, what do you think that strategy should be?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I have the best answer for that. So it'd be interesting to see what your listeners feel about that as well. I feel like even regardless if it's for your technical skills or for what we consider the soft skills, it starts with the person, the human, the person. So really it is self-awareness. And it could start with the fact that, hey, you know what? I'm not really good at, convincing a partner or a team to do something that I'm receiving pushback for, or maybe I'm not confident, or maybe I don't really know what my skills are. So, it could start with a skill assessment, but it definitely starts with the person themselves. I think a lot of it is a self-inventory. It sounds very technical, but what are you really great at, and what are you not? A lot of the folks that some of the clients I coach that are actually having this dilemma, the dilemma is they're known for one set of skills, to say, like they're very well known for their technical skills. And now they're in another position where that's great, but that's not the role that they're in. That's not the reason why they're in that role. It really is I'm going to call the leadership skills, even though I know leadership is not just soft skills, but they're in leadership skills. So they are very dependent on their technical skills, but it's a different outcome that the organization is looking for. So, if I
Definitely.
back that all the way up, maybe if we back that out 20 years, at some point in time, there should be some recognition that, hey, this person can definitely work more on soft skills. And that is doing a self-inventory about what you feel like you're really good at and what you feel like that you need to work on. Also, I also feel like it is situational, depending on the company you work for. It could be who you report to. Sometimes we work for folks that very much value one skill set over the other. So, if you are a leader, I know it's really hard. Like you want to go to that go-to person. I mean, I have the team I work with. I know there's somebody who's so good at this technical piece. Like that's the go-to person for all things technical. But maybe I should be thinking, okay, they're really great for technical type things as well, but maybe we should expose them more to things that require other parts for development. So I hope
Actually,
that
one of the
makes
things that you
sense.
can do in that specific scenario is to ask yourself, can I replicate the skills that this person has so that I don't have to constantly go to this specific person, right? So replicating her skill set. Doing that takes such a great opportunity to develop this one person's skills and saying to them, you're going to learn how to transmit those skills to somebody else. Believe it or not, I have people who would find it extremely difficult to do. And that's such a gold mine of opportunity to just go ahead and say, I'm going to make you a good speaker. I'm going to make you a good teacher. That's good soft skills right there. I wonder if this would almost two or threefold the productivity at each company if they would choose to do that.
Yeah, and it also depends on what the person wants to do too. I mean, you I'm sure you work with people, they'll be mortified to speak in front of a group of folks. So like, why are we shouldn't torture them, you know, when if they really want they're comfortable in the role that they're in and they're very good at that. I think sometimes we have to be okay with that. The difference though is when you become a leader, though, you can't, in my opinion, just rely on your technical skills. That's not going to work. And you also can't just rely on soft skills either. I mean, you have to understand the technical aspect. You may not need to know specifically how the cookies are made, specific, like, you know, down to the ingredients, but you need to know enough, right? I think it just depends on what that person wants. I'm not really a big proponent of kind of forcing people to learn certain skills, but creating opportunities and explaining to them how this particular skill is going to help them achieve whatever their goal is. If their goal is to move up or their goal is to work on a certain team, if you can tie it back to that, that's, you know, probably more will be received a lot better than if, you know, we kind of throw, I have this visual of someone who doesn't like to speak and you push them out on stage to say, and like, and there's like thousands of people, like, I think we'll traumatize them. And then they will never want to do that again. But if you explain, hey, we're going to work up to this, because going out on stage gives you an opportunity to explain that really cool technology that you came up with. Here are all the people who are going to buy into that. So why don't we start at a baby step? Maybe you explain it to three people, maybe 10, and you kind of work your way up. So I can see a little bit both sides of that, but definitely the person has to be interested in learning that skill. Yeah.
I think it ties to this curiosity aspect that you brought in some time ago at the beginning of the recording. When people are curious, particularly Gen Z, when they're curious, they ask a lot of questions. You mentioned that in a couple of situations that you run into. They will ask you questions. So I guess one of the things that we could be doing if we're receiving these people is just to say, here's what we have to do. You want to choose? What does it look like to you? Do you see yourself leading? Do you see yourself teaching other people? Do you see yourself in front of a stage or in front of a team and training others? Maybe this is just, it's half the effort, mind you. Whereas before we would have to shove them up onto a stage on purpose. It doesn't look that way today.
And if you ask them that they, you know, maybe they never thought about it, or maybe they never thought that they were capable of doing it. And sometimes, you know, people need to know that someone else thinks that they can do it. I mean, I can think of multiple things early in my career that, good gracious, the person I reported to, I feel like he had more confidence in me than I had in me. I mean, there was a lot of things that he was like one of the best people I've ever worked for or worked with. And he really challenged me. And it was just enough over pressure, not negative pressure, Juse, but pressure to influence me. I had to make a decision, right? It was a little bit out of my comfort zone. It was the unfamiliar.
Which is studied to be the
that's right.
ultimate
that's right.
factor for growth.
Right, it is. And he thought I can do it. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can do that. You know, so it's so many pieces to this. I thought that was interesting. I also wanted to share with you, I came across this article. We can link it, you know, so that people can look at it. But it's an article by an author, and she was talking, I want to make sure I give her all her credits. I'll definitely, we'll definitely link the article below of me in the comments. But it's six things that we know about Generation Z communicates in the workplace in the era of COVID. So this was written a couple of years ago. So I want to give you the six things and see what you think about this, Juse.
Absolutely.
Is that okay? So she's specifically talking about Gen Z, their communication in the workplace in the era of COVID. So if we remember in COVID, we don't need, everybody remembers COVID, but think about what the communication looked like at that time. What were we doing? Were we in person? Were we mostly remote? So here's the six things quickly, she said. Gen Z has typically preferred face-to-face communication over digital. So that's one thing. And I think that there is a perception that because the access to technology, all the digital technology, that people want to Gen Z want to communicate only by technology. But one of the hard things that she's talking about, she says that they prefer face-to-face communication.
That is remarkable. I actually had the opposite idea.
Isn't that something? Well, and I love it when there's articles have different perspectives. So obviously this is from her perspective.
That's amazing.
It's really interesting. Number two, Gen Z wants frequent feedback from their managers. I can tell you in my experience, just in where I work, that is actually very true. They want feedback. And I think
how often are we talking about?
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to know. Like, I mean, like we have a one-on-one, like, do you want, how often do we have to talk? I think it's like, you know, formal one-on-one meetings are really important. Also maybe real-time feedback. There's a presentation that's done and you send them a chat message like, hey, you say you did a great job in that presentation. They want to know if they're on the right track or not. Okay. Number three, Gen Z prides themselves on challenging the status quo. Do you find that to be true, Juse?
I do. I mean, if we're looking at all of what's been happening in the world as of the last few years, there's really a strong emphasis in them really wanting to contribute to change the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen COVID really bring that out, and climate change, the whole phenomenon is really moving whole crowds. Right. People really seem to want to contribute. Sometimes we can perceive, well, maybe they don't really know how to do that. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's the opportunity right there, right? They see things, they say, I want to do something.
Right. And most of the time, in my opinion, when Gen Z challenge the status quo, whether it be in the workplace or, you know, out in the world, it's actually to a lot of our benefit. It's usually benefiting more people than just Gen Z's. And so sometimes it's things that we knew or know should be different or change. And they have courage enough to challenge that because they ask a lot of questions like, why do we have to do it that way? You know, you get a lot of those kind of questions.
Number I love four, why questions. Yeah,
I love why questions too. Like, you know, honestly, because I feel like when you ask the why questions, you're actually interested. You really want to know. And you're curious. I love curiosity. I really do. And then real quick. So number four is Gen Z wants honest and direct communication. Number five is Gen Z is particularly attuned to gendered language, which we do know that's definitely something, definitely in the States. I'm not sure where you lived, you say, if that's something that's come up, but people really want to make sure they're being identified by their pronouns they choose, you know, whether that be he, she, you know, woman, man, that kind of thing. And then last thing is that Gen Z values collaboration and teamwork, especially with peers. So they are, you know, are team players. So, you know, if you're definitely, it's not, there's no bad reason or, you know, to hire a Gen Z to be part of your team. They want to learn and grow. They want feedback from you. You might have to change up the way that you give feedback. It might be a little bit more frequently than maybe you do for some other generations that you have on your team. But probably the other folks in your team can use more frequent feedback as well. Doesn't have to be some big difference. It's a good change for everyone. So I'll send you the link to that. I thought that was a really cool article coming from this author. Her name is Janine Perry, and she wrote this right at the end of COVID about Gen Z and communication in the workplace. Awesome. Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes for everybody to read. Yes. You know, actually, Janine actually makes it sound easier for those who are like you and me, but receiving this new batch of people into the workforce. Mm-hmm. Whereas before we would say, it's really hard to communicate with them because all they want to do is being given tasks to do and leave them alone. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite right now.
Yes.
Wouldn't you find that to be true?
Yeah, I think it's, again, of course, it depends on your situation, but she definitely feels that way. And I don't like, we talked about, I don't like stereotypes. So, even though we do know there's some things that maybe we can agree upon, the Gen Z's like in the workplace, I just try to take the person as they are, honestly, and so I don't see there's no downside to hire any person that has the talent or the potential to contribute to your workplace, regardless of what their generation is. And I like it when Gen Z speak up and they really share how they think about things. It's a different, unique perspective, but it's not a perspective that a lot of us wouldn't benefit from in a workplace situation.
It makes a lot of sense, actually. Natasha, it's been great to have you today. Thank you so much for being here with me in this episode. I will ask you just one final question. Where can people find you if they're interested in getting to know you more?
Yeah, so thank you. I'm definitely on LinkedIn, so you can just check me out. You can send me a message on LinkedIn, and it's Natasha Hilsman. I have a business page on LinkedIn also, is Wellington Hilsman Consulting. And then you can also contact me at my website, which is wellingtonhilsman.com. And it's Hilsman with an S in it. People forget the S. So it's Hills and a man. So wellingtonhilsman.com. And yeah, shoot me a message. And if anybody has any questions about what we kind of talked about today, I'm happy to, help or support or, share insights and ideas. And to say thank you so much for having me. I said yes before I even thought about it when you asked. And I think you're doing great work. Congratulations on all the work that you're actually doing in these conversations. And the whole point is to get people to think. We're not proclaiming to have all the answers, are we? But I
Absolutely.
think it's definitely a great to have different perspective and just to get the conversation going about some of these topics. So thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, Natasha, as always. We'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Stick around and subscribe through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Make it a great day today. Talk soon.